Chapter 119. Throw some light upon Nicholas's love, but whether for good or evil the reader must determine, after an anxious consideration of the painful and embarrassing position in which he was placed. Nicholas decided that he ought to lose no time in frankly stating it to the kind brothers. Availing himself of the first opportunity of being alone with Mr. Charles Cheeryble at the close of next day, he accordingly related Smike's little history, and modestly but firmly expressed his hope that the good old gentleman would, under such circumstances as he described, hold him justified in adopting the extreme course of interfering between parent and child, and upholding the latter in his disobedience. Even though his horror and dread of his father might seem, and would doubtless be represented as, a thing so repulsive and unnatural, as to render those who countenanced him in it, fit objects of general detestation and abhorrence. So deeply rooted does this horror of the man appear to be, apostrophe said Nicholas, that I can hardly believe he really is his son. Nature does not seem to have implanted in his breast one lingering feeling of affection for him, and surely she can never err. Apostrophe, my dear sir, apostrophe replied Brother Charles, you fall into the very common mistake of charging upon nature matters with which she has not the smallest connection, and for which she is in no way responsible. Men talk of nature as an abstract thing, and lose sight of what is natural while they do so. Here is a poor lad who has never felt a parent's care, who has scarcely known anything all his life, but suffering and sorrow, presented to a man who he is told is his father, and whose first act is to signify his intention of putting an end to his short term of happiness, of consigning him to his old fate, and taking him from the only friend he has ever had, which is yourself. If nature, in such a case, put into that lad's breast but one secret prompting which urged him towards his father and away from you, she would be a liar and an idiot. Apostrophe, Nicholas was delighted to find that the old gentleman spoke so warmly, and in the hope that he might say something more to the same purpose, made no reply. The same mistake presents itself to me, in one shape or other, at every turn, apostrophe said Brother Charles. Parents who never showed their love, complain of want of natural affection in their children. Children who never showed their duty, complain of want of natural feeling in their parents. Lawmakers who find both so miserable, that their affections have never had enough of life's sun to develop them, are loud in their moralizings over parents and children too, and cry that the very ties of nature are disregarded. Natural affections and instincts, my dear sir, are the most beautiful of the Almighty's works, but like other beautiful works of His, they must be reared and fostered, or it is as natural that they should be wholly obscured, and that new feelings should usurp their place, as it is that the sweetest productions of the earth, left untended, should be choked with weeds and briars. I wish we could be brought to consider this, and remembering natural obligations a little more at the right time, talk about them a little less at the wrong one. Apostrophe, after this, Brother Charles, who had talked himself into a great heat, stopped to cool a little, and then continued. I dare say you are surprised, my dear sir, that I have listened to your recital with so little astonishment. That is easily explained. Your uncle has been here this morning. Apostrophe, Nicholas colored, and drew back a step or two. Yes, apostrophe said the old gentleman, tapping his desk emphatically, here, in this room. He would listen neither to reason, feeling, nor justice. But Brother Ned was hard upon him. Brother Ned, sir, might have melted a paving stone. Apostrophe, he came to apostrophe said Nicholas. To complain of you, apostrophe returned Brother Charles, to poison our ears with calumnies and falsehoods. But he came on a fruitless errand, and went away with some wholesome truths in his ear besides. Brother Ned, my dear my Nickleby Brother Ned, sir, is a perfect lion. So is Tim Linkinwater. Tim is quite a lion. We had Tim in to face him at first, and Tim was at him, sir, before you could say Jack Robinson. apostrophe, how can I ever thank you for all the deep obligations you impose upon me every day? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Nicholas. By keeping silence upon the subject, my dear sir, apostrophe, returned Brother Charles, you shall be righted. At least you shall not be wronged. Nobody belonging to you shall be wronged. They shall not hurt a hair of your head, or the boy's head, or your mother's head, or your sister's head. I have said it, Brother Ned has said it, Tim Linkinwater has said it. We have all said it, and we'll all do it. I have seen the Father, if he is the Father, and I suppose he must be. He is a barbarian and a hypocrite, Mr. Nickleby. I told him, you are a barbarian, sir. I did. I said, you're a barbarian, sir. And I'm glad of it. I am very glad I told him he was a barbarian. Very glad indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, by this time Brother Charles was in such a very warm state of indignation, that Nicholas thought he might venture to put in a word, but the moment he essayed to do so, Mr. Cheeryble laid his hand softly upon his arm, and pointed to a chair. The subject is at an end for the present, apostrophe, said the old gentleman, wiping his face. Don't revive it by a single word. I am going to speak upon another subject, a confidential subject, Mr. Nickleby. We must be cool again, we must be cool. Apostrophe, after two or three turns across the room he resumed his seat, and drawing his chair nearer to that on which Nicholas was seated, said, I am about to employ you, my dear sir, on a confidential and delicate mission. Apostrophe, you might employ many a more able messenger, sir, apostrophe, said Nicholas, but a more trustworthy or zealous one, I may be bold to say, you could not find. Apostrophe, of that I am well assured, apostrophe, returned Brother Charles, well assured. You will give me credit for thinking so, when I tell you, that the object of this mission, is a young lady. Apostrophe, a young lady, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Nicholas, quite trembling for the moment with his eagerness to hear more. A very beautiful young lady, apostrophe, said Mr. Cheeryble, gravely. Pray go on, sir, apostrophe, returned Nicholas. I am thinking how to do so, apostrophe, said Brother Charles, sadly, as it seemed to his young friend, and with an expression allied to pain. You accidentally saw a young lady in this room one morning, my dear sir, in a fainting fit. Do you remember? Perhaps you have forgotten. Apostrophe, oh no, apostrophe, replied Nicholas, hurriedly. I remember it very well indeed. Apostrophe, she is the lady I speak of, apostrophe, said Brother Charles. Like the famous parrot, Nicholas thought a great deal, but was unable to utter a word. She is the daughter, apostrophe, said Mr. Cheeryble, of a lady who, when she was a beautiful girl herself, and I was very many years younger, it seems a strange word for me to utter now, I loved very dearly. You will smile, perhaps, to hear a gray-headed man talk about such things. You will not offend me, for when I was as young as you, I dare say I should have done the same. Apostrophe, I have no such inclination, indeed, apostrophe, said Nicholas. My dear Brother Ned, apostrophe, continued Mr. Cheeryble, was to have married her sister, but she died. She is dead too now, and has been for many years. She married her choice, and I wish I could add, that her afterlife was as happy as God knows I ever prayed it might be. Apostrophe, apostrophe, a short silence intervened, which Nicholas made no effort to break. If trial and calamity had fallen as lightly on his head, as in the deepest truth of my own heart I ever hoped for her sake, it would, his life would have been one of peace and happiness, apostrophe, said the old gentleman calmly. It will be enough to say, that this was not the case, that she was not happy, that they fell into complicated distresses and difficulties, that she came, 12 months before her death, to appeal to my old friendship, sadly changed, sadly altered, broken-spirited from suffering and ill usage, and almost broken-hearted. He readily availed himself of the money which, to give her, but 1 hour's peace of mind, I would have poured out as freely as water. Nay, he often sent her back for more, and yet even while he squandered it, he made the very success of these, her applications to me, the groundwork of cruel taunts and jeers, protesting that he knew she thought with bitter remorse of the choice she had made, that she had married him from motives of interest and vanity.
He was a gay young man with great friends about him when she chose him for her husband,
and venting in short upon her, by every unjust and unkind means, the bitterness of that ruin and disappointment which had been brought about by his profligacy alone. In those times this young lady was a mere child. I never saw her again until that morning when you saw her also, but my nephew, Nicholas started, and indistinctly apologizing for the interruption, begged his patron to proceed. My nephew, Frank, I say, resumed Mr. Cheeryble, encountered her by accident, and lost sight of her almost in a minute afterwards, within 2 days, after he returned to England. Her father lay in some secret place to avoid his creditors, reduced, between sickness and poverty, to the verge of death, and she, a child, we might almost think, if we did not know the wisdom of all heaven's decrees who should have blessed a better man, was steadily braving privation, degradation, and everything most terrible to such a young and delicate creature's heart, for the purpose of supporting him. She was attended, sir, said Brother Charles, in these reverses, by one faithful creature, who had been, in old times, a poor kitchen wench in the family, who was then their solitary servant, but who might have been, for the truth and fidelity of her heart, who might have been, the wife of Tim Linkinwater himself, sir. Pursuing this encomium upon the poor follower with such energy and relish as no words can describe, Brother Charles leant back in his chair, and delivered the remainder of his relation with greater composure. It was in substance this, that proudly resisting all offers of permanent aid and support from her late mother's friends, because they were made conditional upon her quitting the wretched man, her father, who had no friends left, and shrinking with instinctive delicacy from appealing in their behalf to that true and noble heart which he hated, and had, through its greatest and purest goodness, deeply wronged by misconstruction and ill report, this young girl had struggled alone and unassisted to maintain him by the labor of her hands. That through the utmost depths of poverty and affliction she had toiled, never turning aside for an instant from her task, never wearied by the petulant gloom of a sick man sustained by no consoling recollections of the past or hopes of the future, never repining for the comforts she had rejected, or bewailing the hard lot she had voluntarily incurred. That every little accomplishment she had acquired in happier days had been put into requisition for this purpose, and directed to this one end. That for 2 long years, toiling by day and often 2 by night, working at the needle, the pencil, and the pen, and submitting, as a daily governess, to such caprices and indignities as women with daughters too often love to inflict upon their own sex, when they serve in such capacities, as though in jealousy of the superior intelligence which they are necessitated to employ, indignities, in 99 cases out of every 100, heaped upon persons immeasurably and incalculably their betters, but outweighing in comparison any that the most heartless blackleg would put upon his groom, that for 2 long years, by dint of laboring in all these capacities and wearying in none, she had not succeeded in the sole aim and object of her life, but that, overwhelmed by accumulated difficulties and disappointments, she had been compelled to seek out her mother's old friend, and, with a bursting heart, to confide in him at last. If I had been poor, said Brother Charles, with sparkling eyes, if I had been poor, Mr. Nickleby, my dear sir, which thank God I am not, I would have denied myself,
of course anybody would under such circumstances,
the commonest necessaries of life, to help her. As it is, the task is a difficult one. If her father were dead, nothing could be easier, for then she should share and cheer the happiest home that Brother Ned and I could have, as if she were our child or sister. But he is still alive. Nobody can help him. That has been tried 1,000 times. He was not abandoned by all without good cause, I know. Apostrophe, cannot she be persuaded to apostrophe? Nicholas hesitated, when he had got thus far. To leave him? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Brother Charles. Who could entreat a child to desert her parent? Such entreaties, limited to her seeing him occasionally, have been urged upon her not by me, but always with the same result. Apostrophe, is he kind to her? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Nicholas. Does he requite her affection? Apostrophe, true kindness, considerate self-denying kindness, is not in his nature, apostrophe, returned Mr. Cheeryble. Such kindness as he knows, he regards her with, I believe. The mother was a gentle, loving, confiding creature, and although he wounded her from their marriage till her death as cruelly and wantonly as ever man did, she never ceased to love him. She commended him on her deathbed to her child's care. Her child has never forgotten it, and never will. Apostrophe, have you no influence over him? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Nicholas. I, my dear sir, the last man in the world. Such are his jealousy and hatred of me, that if he knew his daughter had opened her heart to me, he would render her life miserable with his reproaches. Although this is the inconsistency and selfishness of his character, although if he knew that every penny she had came from me, he would not relinquish one personal desire that the most reckless expenditure of her scanty stock could gratify. Apostrophe, an unnatural scoundrel. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Nicholas, indignantly. We will use no harsh terms, apostrophe, said Brother Charles, in a gentle voice, but accommodate ourselves to the circumstances in which this young lady is placed. Such assistance as I have prevailed upon her to accept, I have been obliged, at her own earnest request, to dole out in the smallest portions, lest he, finding how easily money was procured, should squander it even more lightly than he is accustomed to do. She has come to and fro, secretly and by night, to take even this, and I cannot bear that things should go on in this way, Mr. Nickleby, I really cannot bear it. Apostrophe, then it came out by little and little, how that the twins had been revolving in their good old heads manifold plans and schemes for helping this young lady in the most delicate and considerate way, and so that her father should not suspect the source whence the aid was derived, and how they had at last come to the conclusion that the best course would be to make a feint of purchasing her little drawings and ornamental work at a high price, and keeping up a constant demand for the same. For the furtherance of which end and object it was necessary that somebody should represent the dealer in such commodities, and after great deliberation they had pitched upon Nicholas to support this character. He knows me, apostrophe, said Brother Charles, and he knows my brother Ned. Neither of us would do. Frank is a very good fellow, a very fine fellow, but we are afraid that he might be a little flighty and thoughtless in such a delicate matter, and that he might, perhaps. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.